10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
I'm Gaius in Londinium, 92 AD, a summer's evening at the wine bar, and Germanicus and I have been frustrated by the fact that we can't do anything about what's coming down the road for the 21st century, which is defeat and despair, and then drift. The drift can go on for decades until the emergency becomes unavoidable. And then if you're lucky, something happens. However, I want to turn to an alternative that doesn't satisfy what Germanicus has been talking about, which is the inadequacy of preparation. If you want peace, prepare for war. It's the diplomats, the diplomats. Wars end with diplomats at the table trying to solve immediate problems. Versailles ended that way. In 1945, they ended at something they called the United Nations. None of these things are ever adequate, but they're what you do at the time. Right now, there's a failure of diplomacy in addition to the failure of the Navy. The Imperator doesn't trust diplomats, doesn't like them, doesn't know them, has no experience, and is unaware that keeping quiet and let the diplomats work for you is a very time-honored geopolitical gambit. It does tend to work. In 1945, the Japanese cabinet knew they were whipped, but the big six were the decision makers. And then there was the emperor, who was a lightweight. The big six were the prime minister, the foreign minister, the army minister, the navy minister, and then two commanding officers from the navy and army. That's the big six. They refused to surrender. Every time it came up, we're surrounded, we're out of food. The Americans can bomb us. Our air force is gone, except for the kamikazes. And we're prepared to fight on the beaches in Kyushu. They put 1 million men together with 10 divisions ready to die on Kyushu for the American invasion, Operation Downfall. They had 10,000 kamikazes ready. They had school children practicing with sharpened bamboo sticks. Right. They refused to surrender. Then a firebombing, starting in March of 45, reduced the cities to ashes again and again and again. B-29s with incendiary devices, we call them napalm, reduced the cities to ashes. There was no credible air defense. The B-29s went in low. 10,000 feet low. They could smell the burning flesh below them. That's how low they were. And they continued to burn the cities, and the big six wouldn't quit. And then Truman sent the Potsdam Declaration in from Potsdam. He was there to negotiate with Stalin and Churchill, saying, this is what we're going to do to you. We're going to destroy the Japanese nation. Surrender. And they wouldn't quit. Then the bomb dropped. They wouldn't quit. Then the second bomb dropped. They wouldn't quit. They would not quit. There were no diplomats in the room. There was just the military, especially the war minister, Anami. He couldn't surrender. He couldn't imagine a world where he said, we quit. It would disgrace his understanding of the empire and the emperor. Well, how did they get out of this? A miracle. The emperor made a rescript, a record, in which he surrendered. And they hid that record the night of the coup. There were junior officers running around the palace. They killed the commander of the Imperial Guard. They were ready to kill more, but they couldn't find the record, and they couldn't find the emperor whom they were going to kidnap. And the next morning, Truman and Marshall and everybody on the American side was completely unaware of this. Completely. They had no idea what was going on. The next morning, the emperor finally played, well, at noon, he finally played the rescript, in which everybody in Japan on the radio heard him say, we quit. That was it. That was the end of the war. Germanicus, I mentioned all this because they had diplomats arranging this. And they still couldn't find a way to get it quit. But we did approach them. And one of the wise voices was Joseph Grew, who had been the ambassador to Japan. And he told Truman to send that Potsdam Declaration. They all agreed. Send them an ultimatum. Give them a chance to surrender. We've not done that, Germanicus. We've not sent out ultimatums to Iran. We haven't, because we have no diplomats to do it. There's no diplomats advising the president.
One of the unspoken realities of the last year of the war is that we were operating with our ally, the Soviet Union, to send feelers to Japan. Right. And of course, they didn't do it. We could have gone directly through Switzerland and started negotiating because the Japanese were actually ready to surrender after the Battle of the Philippines.
Three votes to surrender. Yes, three votes to surrender and three votes not to. Yes.
Right. And so with Japan, you have a society that was ready to come to terms.
Well, you see, Iran, forgive me, Germanicus, but Iran is in a similar place. They have no leadership. They have ghosts of leaders. They have titles that people take up for the moment and then move on.
So who are you listening to? It seems to me that Iran is ready to wait it out, that they have...
Who is Iran? The emperor is dead.
Well, there's a new emperor, a new imam. Is there?
Is there? We have no proof of life. None.
Well, but yeah, that's true. But the fact is that under attack, and this is something that Americans can't seem to accept or understand, is that when you attack a country out of the blue aggressively, like Hitler attacked Poland, or Stalin, you know, went into all these Baltic states, and people are suddenly energized to resist, and Iran is resisting across the board. I don't see how we can bring Iran to its knees if society.
We've got to send a declaration, an ultimatum. That's what Truman did. It didn't.
There's no ultimatum that we can. Well.
There might be three votes for surrender. We don't know.
We tried to do this with Russia when we created the war in Ukraine, and we did it with our, you know, amazing sanctions and our threat of all of our magisterial weapon systems.
That's not a real war. That's an ersatz to beef.
Yeah,
that's,
but it was a proxy war where we expected to bring Russia to its knees through the agency of igniting popular resistance to the war. The opposite happened, John, because the Russian people saw this suddenly as an existential attack on their identity, and they are committed now to a victory, and they will get that victory.
You moved to another theater. That does not help
us. I did. But let's go to Iran. I think the same thing has happened. There was a lot of antagonism toward the regime. But when we attacked, we achieved the opposite of what we intended. And now I think you have a society that is committed to surviving.
You're identifying the facts. I'm identifying without diplomats.
Yes.
That was a sneak attack on the 28th of February. There was no ultimatum.
No.
There were no diplomats to deliver the ultimatum. What did Truman? Truman didn't have anybody. They gave it to Switzerland. Switzerland put out a press release. San Francisco radio read the press release. They heard it in Tokyo, translated it, and took it to the emperor. That's how they heard it. Now, that's pretty roundabout, but we did not deliver an ultimate. Sound so certain. I'm speculating.
Yeah.
About the diplomatic channels. We went to war without all the tools that are available.
So, Gaius, what you're suggesting is that if we use nuclear weapons on Iran, they would surrender.
No, not nuclear weapons. An ultimatum.
I mean, but if we don't use nuclear weapons, not only will they not surrender, but they will fight to the end.
You did not know, of the big six, Truman did not know, could not know, whether there was a vote for surrender. There were three votes for surrender.
Yes, I know.
All right. There were only three votes against it, and it was Anami, the Minister of War, who was the toughest guy. And what did he do when they finally surrendered? He committed harikiri.
Of course.
So we had a bunch of losers sitting there saying no surrender because they couldn't imagine it. The emperor endorsed surrender. We don't know if there's... All right. I won't repeat myself.
No, Iran will not surrender. We are foundering on Iraq.
So you're saying it's the same as Japan, but Japan did surrender, even though they wouldn't surrender.
I'm not saying it's the same as Japan. What I'm saying is that we are assuming it's the same as Japan, and yet we are unwilling to unwilling to bring to bear.
The Imperator has no diplomatic
overarching existential weapon that was brought to bear to Japan. And we can't. So what I'm saying is that we are lost here. We can't do what we need to do to win because we can't crack that society. We might have done better if we had worked more behind the scenes, but now we have united the Iranian people existentially to defend the survival of their civilization. They will not yield. And we are fools to think that we can do something to bring them to that situation. It was one thing to do that with Japan. It's quite, look, remember what we had done through this strategic bombing of Japan is we had so thoroughly destroyed their cities that 30% of the Japanese population fled to the countryside where they were not greeted, you know, fondly by farmers, and they were on the edge of death and starvation. Had we continued to war with Japan, we would have committed the greatest war crime of all time. Japan would have effectively been destroyed as a nation. Thank God the nuclear weapons ended it, but
they
that
didn't
country was on the edge. Iran is not in that situation today.
Okay. I don't mean to press this. I don't have a future in mind. You're saying the present is unacceptable. I agree with you. I'll leave it there.
We're not going to defeat Iran.
Okay.
They're going to defeat us. They've already defeated us. I'm sorry, but it's happened.
I'm not objecting. I'm looking for, without diplomats, we can't be certain.
But we don't have diplomats. This is the great failing of the United States in the last 30 years. I went to the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy where I got my PhD. Diplomacy is not part of the American repertoire anymore. Somehow, diplomacy died after the fall of the Soviet Union because after 1991, Americans, mostly the elite establishment, said, we don't need diplomacy anymore because we are the gods of war. We are the Olympians who run the world. We don't need diplomacy. We just do what we want anywhere. And, you know, this administration is still pursuing that as we're about to destroy Cuba, for example, as we abducted the president of Venezuela. We are, you know, shooting, destroying.
I do know.
Yeah.
Your articulation of the present unacceptability is, I thank you for it.
There's no diplomacy anymore in America.
All right.
Because the idea of diplomacy, the concept, the spirit of diplomacy is dead.
All right. The Navy's dead and diplomacy's dead. I acknowledge that. What more can I do?
Well, I don't know. We need a revolution to get these things back in gear. What else is going to bring this back to life?
2055 is my best guess as to when what you're saying is possible.
Right.
30 years. We won't be here.
I think 30
we'll
years.
Be, we'll be,
that's
we'll
a good. Be. Yeah, that works. 30 years works.
We're going to go to the music. I'm going to deal with the Vinter during this week. I don't know exactly what he wants, what he has in mind, a label in some fashion. We'll find out once we finish the expansion of the wine bar. The Centurions are, well, they're filled with questions. See Germanicus afterwards. So I can't answer them all tonight. The Roman Orchestra is ready, and they're objecting again to the incompleteness of the stage because of the expansion of the wine bar. Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. I am John Batchelor Gaius. We're in Londinium. It's 92 AD. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for the conditions of the wine bar, gentlemen. They promised me 2 weeks, and it's now a month. So maybe it'll be done next week. Just imagine a future where we have a label that celebrates the retired centurions of Londinium. Thank you, Roman Orchestra. Take it away.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.